Last parable tells us then about the end of the age. It's similar to the wheat and the weeds in some way. If you look at the last part of the wheat and the weeds, it's very similar to that. But I think the emphasis is different. What Jesus is telling his followers is that there's going to be a final judgment, that people will have to give an account for who they are, righteous or unrighteous. And the unrighteous will be thrown aside, a place of fiery torment, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's the parable we're looking at tonight. If you put all those parables together, you get a real good theology, understanding of what's happening in the world. I think it's great just to briefly look at that. Now, a dragnet must have been quite a long net. I know that world fisheries are always worried about dragnet-type nets, you know, where the big Japanese trawlers come out and they throw these huge nets over kilometres. And they catch all fish in it, big ones, small ones, protected species, non-protected species, they collect the lot. And all those protected species, small fish, they all die in looking for the good ones. But Jesus uses that illustration, perhaps from the Sea of Galilee, and it would look very similar to that picture, I think, but of course you have to change the what the people are wearing, and I would imagine that there might be boats, two boats, that come to shore, dragging the ends of the net to the shore, and then they get out of the boats and they just pull them in and you get all the fish. Or perhaps someone standing on the shore, a boat goes way out and just does a curve to the shore and they pull it in, something like that. But you catch all kinds of fish in a net like that, some good, some bad, some good for eating, some not so good for eating. And then a judgment will be made. All kinds of fish there, caught in the net. Good one, bad one, good ones put aside to go to the market, bad ones tossed down. And Jesus is saying at the end of the age, it will be like that. The good fish are the righteous, and the bad fish are the unrighteous. And the unrighteous will be tossed aside. And then he talks about the judgment that is to come upon them. The next quote, which is a quote from John MacArthur, is this. Quite like that quote. The dragnet of God's judgment moves silently through the sea of mankind and draws all men to the shores of eternity for final separation to their ultimate destiny. Believers to eternal life and unbelievers to eternal damnation. Hell is something we don't like to talk about, eternal damnation. In Edward Donnelly's book, Heaven and Hell, he writes that, you know, like 70% of people believe in heaven, but only 3% believe in hell. And then you hear people say funny things about hell. That's the place all my mates will be. I wouldn't want to go to heaven, you know, that's hell is for me. And somehow we've sort of taken the ugliness of out of hell and demons and devils, and we have little kids on stage dressed in red with horns on, and people go to their parties and they do the same, and we've sort of tamed it completely. So nearly hell could look somewhat cute even. It's not the picture of the Bible. When I think of hell, I think of some of the images that we put up on the screen, and some of you have them. Think of a Nazi concentration camp, or a Soviet gulag, or a Japanese concentration camp in World War II. That's what I think of. The ugliness of human life, survival, a picture of that parable that Harry read earlier from Luke 16, a place of torment where even a drop of water is valuable. I think of a place like Rwanda. Thankfully, that country's been at peace for many years, but a couple of decades ago, the Hutu and Tutsis militia, the two main tribes, fought against each other and they massacred thousands of people, some in churches, completely surrounded and massacred. And I put that picture on the data projector just to show people streaming away with all their possessions on them, just fleeing the fighting. To me, that's like a picture of hell. Or a tsunami, and I put another picture on there. Something in Japan, perhaps. Devastation, destruction, loss of life, loss of hope. Who would want to be there when the waves just rolled in? Well, perhaps you think of children with bloated bellies who don't have enough food. Some people say Jesus talks a lot more about hell than he does about heaven. And even in the parable I've read to you, he describes hell but doesn't describe heaven to you. Often, when Jewish authors thought of hell, they thought of the Valley of Hinnom. And you have to imagine the Valley of Hinnom was on the west of Jerusalem. The sea breeze, I've got to get this right, on the east of Jerusalem, and the sea breeze from the Mediterranean came from the west. And what people in Jerusalem would do, like we do, is they grab all their garbage and rubbish and they throw it over the wall, or they bring it into the Valley of Hinnom there on the east. So the smell would waft in the opposite direction. And there, what would you find? You'd find dead animals, carcasses, the guts of animals slaughtered. You'd find people who didn't have, couldn't be buried properly, who maybe died in the street as paupers. They'd be just thrown there. And someone obviously went through that place and they lit fires and tried to burn some of the worst of that came there. Over here at the tip, we have huge machines that just cover all the rubbish. And it's only now and then that we get a beautiful waft of it in our noses. But imagine that. That's what it was, an evil-smelling place with fires and rotting everything. And for the Jewish people, that's a picture of hell. Hell is where so many people go. I read that approximately 100 million people die every year. Every 3 seconds a person dies. Well, if the sermon goes for 20 minutes in the minute, then that's 180, but let's make it 200. Does that work? 20? Anyway, I'm going to leave the maths behind now. I had it worked out this morning, but a lot of people will be dead by the end of this sermon in the world. And Jesus is saying, if you are not the righteous, you are the unrighteous, and you will be assigned a place, a fiery torment for eternity, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, brothers and sisters, the default position is this, that we are all wicked. We are all unrighteous. That is the default position. Many people think to themselves, well, they're good people and bad people, people that aren't in church. That's what they think. Good people and bad people. Righteous and unrighteous. And the bad people, not many of them, but they'll go to hell, a bit like those who go to prison. And the rest will be saved. If there is a heaven, if there is a God, they'll be there. But in Christian theology, we're all wicked. We're all deserving of God's judgment. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 3, there is no one righteous, not even one. In Romans 1, he writes that although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. Wickedness is not simply living a bad life. It's ignoring our Creator. It's ignoring God. It's living on your own. And Jesus says to us in the Sermon on the Mount, if you think lustful thoughts, you are an adulterer. If you have hatred in your heart, you're a murderer. These are the things Jesus tells us, and we know that we think bitter thoughts. We hate people at times. That's what we're like. We're not righteous on our own. So who are the righteous that Jesus is talking about? And brothers and sisters, this is where I talk about the word alien. We get an alien righteousness. We get a righteousness not from ourselves, but that is given to us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. His holiness is granted to me. It's an alien righteousness that becomes my righteousness. So the Apostle Paul writes this, Philippians 3. It's on the data projector. But whatever was gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. And this is an important verse now, isn't it? And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of Christ, of basis of faith. The righteous in the parable are those who have received something because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've received righteousness. So just allow me to conclude. If you're good at fishing, or even bad at fishing like me, you tend to catch all kinds of fish. I haven't fished for quite a while because my fishing skills are as good as my golf game. Sort of very limited. But when you do fish, and when my children have fished, we often catch the little puffer type fishes, the ones that swell up when you catch them. They seem to always get the bait. Catch them. When I was at the Murray River in Goolwa, right near the mouth, people would catch big kind of goldfish. They're called European carp. And you're not allowed to throw them back into the water because they're a pest. And the Murray River is just absolutely filled to the brim with these fish. So what we did, I don't know if I caught any, I can't remember that, but it was good to watch. People that caught these European carp would unhook them, and then there would be a pelican standing there, and that's why I put a nice pelican up, and that is a carp in his mouth, and just throw them to the pelican, and the pelican would catch them and swallow them whole. So amazing to watch, you know, the whole neck expanding and the whole fish going down in one swallow. I was always very impressed with that. What Jesus is telling the fishermen and his disciples in this parable is that there's going to be a separation one day. The wheat will be separated from the weeds. The good fish will be separated from the bad fish. The righteous, those who have received an alien righteousness, will be separated from the unrighteous, those who are confident in their own good deeds. And this will be for all eternity. In that sense, the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee is very handy for us to remember. Two people went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee said, "Lord, I thank you I'm not like other men, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I possessed." And the Pharisee and the tax collector knelt before God and cried out and beat his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then Jesus says, which one went home justified? And they all said, the one that prayed for mercy. You and I have the privilege of being the righteous. What a privilege that is. No, we do not have to be scared of the judgment because we have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, we have a world around us, the broad road leading to destruction with many people on it who do not know Christ, and that's the imperative of the gospel. How will they hear without someone preaching to them? How will they know without someone demonstrating what it is to be a Christian? That is what discipleship making is all about. Now, if we sort of say hell doesn't mean too much, and nobody really goes there, we simply allow people to go there, really. It doesn't drive us to present the gospel. People go on with a false assurance of salvation, and that's the sad thing about it. The thing is, a church, if we had a proper picture of hell as Christians in our minds, as Jesus describes it here, this final separation, that perhaps we'd be a little bit more urgent, we'd be a bit more concerned about sharing the gospel, or in terms of the Vine Project, moving people to the right, moving people to Jesus. That would be a greater concern to us because we don't want people. We don't want our children or grandchildren, our neighbours, to go there. The consequences are too terrible. One day, there will be a separation. I don't want to word it too easily. I don't want us to overlook it. I don't want us to be one of the 3% of people that think hell exists. I mean, the 97% that believe hell doesn't exist, or is only for the worst of the bad apples. There will be a final judgment. We need to be righteous, and the only way to do that is to know Jesus. The only way for anyone to be saved is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, when Jesus doesn't describe heaven for us, but it will be a place of immense joy, peace. It will be the place that you want to be. There you'll find happiness for your souls forever. That is what Jesus reminds the disciples here. The imperative of throwing out the seed and knowing there's a final judgment to come. Amen.